Sherlock, real 10.
So what's the next thing in the campaign that you remember?
The next major thing I remember was going into Poland. Where there had been fighting, but there was no longer weak there. Major thing I remember about Frawley was the fact that we captured a Wehrmacht factory.
Did you have problems keeping the men sober with that?
Yes, not just the men either. In fact, there was so much weather, it was marvellous stuff, that it wasn't just our battalion, but all the other battalions in the 46th Division, I think, came along with their work cuts and filled them with vermin. And when we subsequently embarked for Greece and landed in Piraeus, there wasn't anyone who could have boiled a kettle full of water for a cup of tea.
Right. So everyone enjoyed themselves. What after that then? So you
Well, we went from 40 degrees.
That's where you went from. That's, yes. So that's the end of your Greek experiences. So, I mean, what did you know about the move to Greece? Were you expecting it?
No. The Germans had pulled out. And the Eoka and Elas, which were the communist political parties, armed themselves and they were terrorizing the Greek population with the idea that they would take over the government. And we were sent in to stabilize affairs.
Now you went by air, which is very unusual.
Yes, we went.
I mean, it's not the usual method then.
No, first time we'd ever been moved by air.
What was it like?
Well, I think there were all DC. I must say, I thought they were liable to shake apart. But it was an adventure for us. We hadn't done it before, so it was something quite new. They were blooming uncomfortable. There was nothing to sit on. We were just in the body of the vehicle. But anyway, it was a...
Were the men nervous?
Eventless. I don't know. I suppose everybody was a bit apprehensive.
Had you flown before?
I hadn't, no. No. It was quite new.
So you landed at the Athens airport.
That's right. My first action in there was being sent to a spot on the main road leading out of Athens, north. And we were put astride that road. And whilst we were there, I got an instruction from headquarters to go and occupy a hill on which was the Philippapu Monument. I was told that we were unlikely to have any particular opposition. So I merely detailed the platoon to go down the road about half a mile, turn right, climb the hill, and then find the Philippapu Monument and sit there. And let me know when they got there. I eventually got a runner back who said that they had to occupy the Philippapu Monument. So I said, why don't I go and join them? So we got out a jeep and a couple of chaps, and we went down the road, and I was about to turn. Well, I did turn right up onto the Philippi Monument, and the runner said, this isn't where we went. So we certainly occupied it because there was nobody there, and we were just there. It discovered that, in fact, the platoon commander obviously didn't know his way from his left. He had turned left, and he had occupied the Acropolis. So we actually occupied the lot. there were some people on the Acropolis, but they decided it wasn't worth arguing about. After that, we went down into the Athens area of Phaleron, and we were billeted into a very nice house, and the company job was to look after some of the residential areas of Phaleron.
Now, were you being attacked much? Sniping or any, was there much sniping or terrorist activity directed against you?
In this particular area, we had quite a lot of trouble, and so did the Greek population with the ALS people. I was lucky in recruiting a girl who had excellent English, and she put me in touch with the chap who was the leader of the ALAS in that area. And he said, if we would agree not to shoot at them, he would agree not to shoot at us for a period of a week, when we could perhaps come to some terms. I said, well, I wasn't in a position to do that sort of thing, but I went with the colonel. And the colonel agreed that we should have a local armistice. And every morning for almost a week, it was about 3 days, I think, I would stop at the start at this bottom of this end of Phaleron. I would take out my work pistol and put it on the ground, and he would take out put his gun down, and we'd walk up and shake hands, say this, go away again, and we had about 3 days of peace. And then, I think it was the third night, the ALAS broke the peace and went and attacked one of my Zooms, and in fact killed something. So that ended the peace.
How did you and the battalion feel about ALAS? I mean, they had been on the British side.
Well, because we were very fed up about it. And the colonel felt that I'd been a bit optimistic about it. We could do with these chaps, and I think probably had. But we felt, well, in that section of Athens, if we could do that, at least we'd give the local residents peace, and as well. And I think that, it was just one of those things where they you have one or two subversives and and they decided I'd do something on the road. But it shattered any chances.
Did you have any sympathy for ALAS at all?
No, really. I don't think so. No. I don't think anybody did. But in any case, we were, as a general rule, I think that people were fairly anti-communist. And the Greek population as a whole were very good to us, were very they treated us very well.
In what way?
Well, we were visited on them, and I must say they had very little to eat. They'd been living on haricot beans, I think, for months, and yet they were determined to be hospitable with whatever they had. And they helped us.
What precautions did you have to take then against terrorist activity? What precautions did you have to take against terrorist activity?
Well, we just had to, mount normal guards and things like that. Do patrols in particular areas where we were having trouble. That was all we could do. It's again, you see, when that is a situation where we weren't in a position to be aggressive. We were aiding the civil powers, as it were, again. It wasn't a war situation. There were periods when we did get more aggressive. There was a situation further. Let's see what area. It was really in the Piraeus area, where more industrial area, where the ELAS themselves got more aggressive, and so we were able to sort of dig in and retaliate in a fairly aggressive manner. But that was all. We had quite a few casualties in Greece. And some unfortunate ones. And then there was a stage where we moved from the Athens area down to Patras and occupied Patras for about, I don't know, a couple of weeks, I guess, and then came back up again. By which time, I think, something had been sorted out and they weren't there.
So you went back to Greece, to Italy, sorry. Were you pleased to get away from Greece, presumably?
I think we were, yes. I think that on the whole, we weren't too keen about what you might call the uncertainty of the situation in Greece.
Had you been able to calm it down a bit before you left, or was it still just as bad as when you arrived?
Well, it was much calmed down when you left.
So, they went back in April 1945, docking at Taranto, that's probably what...
Yeah.
And what happened in... I mean, there's not too much now, but what happened in Italy at the end?
Well, we did... As I remember it, there was a little bit of training done at Taranto, although drinking the metal. And then we moved up to just short of the Po, really. We were expecting to have to do some fighting. In fact, we were training to do some river crossings again, but it all ended once we were there.
What do you remember of the celebrations at the end of the war? What did you do?
The day that was announced, we all went to the general quarters, and then we had one of our company commanders, the headquarters company commander, laid on a party as his headquarters. And many of us were invited to go down. And I remember particularly myself, two of my went down in my jeep to this headquarter company headquarters. And it was on the other side of a very small stream where the bridge had been blown and a diversion had been made where a jeep went over and over and down the other side. During the course of the evening, they ran out of drink, which was a very serious matter. And somebody said to me, you know, is there anything you can do about it? And I said, oh yes, I said, I've got some back. I said, we'll go and get some. And one of my officers, Freddie Grease, said, I'll take you. And I said, okay. He got into the jeep, driving seat. I was next to him. And he shot away, because he'd be half tight, shot away from the headquarters down there. Didn't notice that the bridge had been blown. Went straight across with that jeep. And it is no exaggeration that as the jeep was in the air, I stepped out of it onto the other side. The jeep went over and Rich was underneath it. The jeep wasn't in very good shape, and Rich was in less of good shape. So it wasn't a good VED for us at all.
Did he survive?
Yes, oh yes, he had a broken leg actually. What about it? Right. So that was the celebration of the evening. I think it's where it was. I didn't have a jeep for another week.
Apparently there were some more celebrations over the next week. Would you join in them?
Well, very, very, I think within 24 hours of that, we were on our way up to Austria. I don't know, it might have been, yes, I'm sure it was 24 hours of that day we were on the way up to Austria in convoy.
And what happened when you got there?
Well, when we got there, it was at Bleiburg, first of all, and it was at Bleiburg. We were called upon to pass through what in fact was the Croatian nation.
Now this is quite a controversial affair. What do you remember about it all?
I don't think that at the time we were quite conscious of what we were doing. You know, we knew that it was what Croatian nation. We knew they were people who, as far as we were concerned, had been on the other side. But we understood that what we were doing was passing them back to Tito, I think. I think we thought they would. Anyway, they were men, women, and children, with all their belongings, all of which they tended to dump as they passed through. And we ended up with hundreds of horses, for instance. I think afterwards we felt very sore about it.
You just didn't know what was going on then?
No.
What about the Cossacks? Do you remember them as well?
Yes. I'm sorry, that's not true when I say I remember them. I remember the incident, but in fact the Cossacks didn't touch us. It was another battalion of the brigade who looked after them. So they didn't actually, as far as I remember, we had nothing to do.
So it was the Croatians that you were dealing with?
Yeah.
Sir. And were they? What was the demeanour of the Croatians? I mean, were they scared?
they were very depressed. In fact, not that we had much conversation with them. We couldn't have conversed with them anyway. But they were very hangdog.
Did they make any attempt to get away or to bribe you? Or?
No, not that I remember. All they seemed concerned with was getting rid of their excess baggage.
Now, in your official history, there's talk of the unit becoming a cavalry unit for a joke. It's a joking reference to the fact all these horses.
It's true. It got so bad that we were looking after dozens of horses. And I remember that there used to be shouts from the company office door, the sheriff wants a deputy, you know, sort of thing. We did keep some of the horses. Later on, when we got further up into Austria, and we took a certain number of horses with us, we had to. There was an edict out that we were only allowed to keep, you know, so many for a company and so many saddles, and we had to turn the rest in. So, organization required.
So what happened? How long were you at Bleiburg? Was there any trouble with the Yugoslavians, as a part, you know, the Tito's forces, or were you aware of any friction with them?
No, I don't think we were aware of it. After Bleiburg, we were in Bleiburg, what, about a week, I think. That might have been that much. We moved up into nearer to Klagenfurt. And then from Klagenfurt, we moved over to St. Martin and eventually to Willem. At St. Martin, I think it was, we had to look after the prisoners of war of a German division, and I can't remember the number of it. It was actually called the Croatian division, mainly because it had been in Croatia. And I remember that the general was a general, Reinick, and I used to meet him every morning, watch him. And we arrange various things connected with their custody, and they themselves actually organised their camp, and they did it far better than we would ever have done it.
Were they reasonably friendly, the Croatian troops?
I think what one say about them is that they weren't unfriendly. They certainly didn't want to fraternize, but then nor did we.
What about the Austrians? How?
We got on really well with the officers, with the general, particularly. I just used to meet the general. And I bring along a bottle of whiskey, and he bring them a bottle of Benedictine, which he delivered somewhere. And we'd have a few drinks and talk over what we needed to do, and it went very well.
What about the Austrians, the Austrian civilians, and how were they?
In general, we got in very well with the Austrians. After the first few quick moves from one place to another, we were billeted in a village called Allerheiligen, and we took over the castle there, the Schloss. And it had been occupied by German troops before we got in. And strangely, it was pretty filthy for a lot of lice and bugs around. But when we got it cleaned and disinfected, it turned out to be no bad billet. And the Austrians in that village were particularly keen to please.
What were you actually doing for the most part? What were your duties? You were a major by then. Well, I mean, what were you actually doing?
Well, we did a certain amount of basic training, of course, just to keep everybody from that duties. We did some patrolling to outlying villages. We all had an area which we were supposed to look after. And to some extent, until the Allied military government got moving, we were in charge of the area we allotted. So that even the plumbing became our responsibility. And so I, who didn't even know how to fix a tap washer, suddenly found myself faced with problems of what happened to the water and that sort of thing. However, that didn't last for more than about a couple of months, I suppose, 2 or 3 months. And then Allied military government got there and took over and looked after the administration of the civilian population.
So what were you doing then?
We looked after security. And
was there much to do?
Only sort of patrolling the villages and that sort of thing.
What were you patrolling against? I mean, what were you...
Well, subversion, presumably, but, there was nothing really to look for. We weren't supposed, at that stage, we weren't supposed to fraternise with the local population. But, of course, occasionally we were told of isolated Germans in the floating land, and we had to try to pick them up. But it wasn't a very arduous sort of existence. We were an army of occupation, and we were looked upon as that, and that was just about enough.